Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. Today, I'm going to be talking to Beth's mom. You're going to get to be a witness of the conversation. I hope that you'll be praying for me as I'm sharing and also praying for Beth's mom. This all happened because of a volleyball game and sitting in bleachers together. You see, God creates divine appointments. He creates opportunities for us to be together where we can discover in a certain moment what the Lord has for us to do. So today, I'm attempting to fulfill a call of God that I have in my life. And you know what? I'm thinking that there are more Beth's moms out there and who will benefit, who will be blessed by what I have to share. At least that's my hope. All right, back in a minute.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Hey, welcome back to the program. Let's start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' holy name, and I present to you Beth's mom. I ask, Father, that you would pour down graces upon her that are unexpected, blessings that are unimagined, and giftings that would minister to her at her point of deepest need, and that would fill her heart's desire, even those desires that she's not aware of in her life. And Lord, I not only pray for Beth's mom, but I pray for all of those who are in similar circumstances who might listen to this program. That, Father, that you would pour upon them the blessings of this Jubilee year, this year of favor, this time of hope, that it would be made real for Beth's mom. And for all those who listen, that you intend to be reached by this program. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You just never know when God will tap you on the shoulder and say, okay, I want to use you here. I want you to be involved in this circumstance. So this all happened. Last weekend, I was at a volleyball tournament. Yes, two of my daughters playing on a team. Sitting in the bleachers, and Beth started talking to me, a mom of another player, and lo and behold, we start the conversation. She knows that Carrie and I are Catholic, and she mentions and starts to mention the situation of her mom. And I don't know a lot of the details. I'm not here to expose details about her life, so I'm not going to do any of that. But what I do want to say is this, is that I felt a call at that moment to say, you know, this platform, this radio program can be a place to talk to Beth's mom without ever having spoken to her before, never having met her, but also to people that are like her, that are in her similar circumstance. And so she's someone who grew up Catholic. She is someone, I don't know how old she is. She's probably in her 70s or 80s. Maybe even a little older than that, but I don't know for sure. But she grew up in a strict Catholic home, and grew up near to, in fact, a devout Catholic home. They wanted to be near to a Catholic parish and school and even a convent nearby. And the story that unfolded that I barely know, just sort of scraping the surface of anyone's journey, is that things haven't always been easy. In fact, things have been hard and unexpectedly hard. And there have been trials that she didn't sign up for, trials that she couldn't have imagined would unfold in the course of her life. And in the midst of all of this, her Catholic faith has not played as a vibrant a role as maybe it could have. And so her faith in the Lord as a Catholic has not been a source of life and peace and joy for her, maybe to the extent that it could have. Okay? And so I want to speak in ways that are both discreet, and I don't want to make claims that are too strong. But what I came away with was this, was that Beth's mom had a loving daughter in Beth that longed to have her come to be able to maybe experience in a fresh new way, not maybe, come to experience in a fresh new way the love of the Lord for her. That no matter how far along in the journey of faith we are, the Lord is still at work. He's still at work, and he can do wondrous things to bring freedom and peace and even joy. And I said, you know what? Let me pray about this. Let me think about this, and let me see if I can share some thoughts with Beth's mom that maybe would be a source of blessing. And so that's my hope to you today, Beth's mom, and to others that are like you. And part of the reason I share this is that I grew up in a home with a mom who grew up in a strict Catholic family, and she had a hard time experiencing this sense of personal love and affection because of the family she grew up in. They experienced a lot of poverty, a lot of difficulty around the Second World War, and a harsh dad made it hard for her to imagine that there was a loving father that would stand behind such a harsh father in terms of the way that she was brought up. And she did the best she could raising us as Catholics. But the idea that she would be open to receive the love of the Lord, or even love from us, and to be able to express that, that was not quick or natural for her. When my faith came alive in my late teen years, I can remember coming to her and saying, "Mom, I love you." And I would hug her. And she'd say, "Well, I know that, but we don't talk like that in the family." And I just hugged her tighter and said, "I love you, Mom." And then she hugged me back and said, "I love you too." But that was after a couple of years of me attempting to share the fruits that had come alive in me when my faith in Christ blossomed. It blossomed from this encounter with Jesus as a Catholic. And so for you, Beth's mom, here's what I want to say. I want to say, first of all, please know how sorry I am that you have had a life that involved these particular trials and challenges that were unexpected, undeserved. They weren't things that you could have imagined that would be part of your life. And again, I, with all respect, don't even know the little bits of what it was like for you to have to walk through some of the trials and difficulties that you did. But I am so sorry that those things have happened to you and that you've had to continue to walk forward in your own journey. So just know that. But I want to bring you a different message as well. And this is the message of Jubilee. So 2025 in the Catholic Church is what's called a Jubilee year. So this happens every 25 years. There is a Jubilee year. It's a scriptural idea that over certain time periods, the Lord is breaking into a moment in history in order to manifest, in order to demonstrate who he is and what he wants for his people. And you are a daughter of God. You are a daughter of God who is beloved by God. And I know that might be hard to hear or hard to receive, but it's the truth. And I want to share some thoughts with you and propose some things for you that maybe could be a source of a new pathway, a new way forward. And it's around this theme of Jubilee. Jubilee, it comes from a Hebrew word that has a connotation, an expression of joy. The Jubilee year is meant to be a time of joy, a time of rejoicing. And the joy and the rejoicing of a Jubilee year, in part, comes from what God's people experience. And that is a sense of being set free, that the quote unquote, the slaves are set free in a Jubilee year. So those who are debtors, those who were bound up, they were bound up by their life circumstances. Those might be financial circumstances. They might be health circumstances. They might be relational challenges. But things where I'm bound up, the Lord says, I'm going to bring a grace, a blessing. I'm going to come and break into your life because I'm offering you a place of freedom and an experience of freedom where you have felt stuck. And so I'm presenting that to you, Beth's mom. I'm presenting that to you, anyone else who's listening, that maybe Beth's mom has been the reason that I brought this out into the open, but it's meant for you as well. That place in your life where you're stuck, the Lord has jubilee. He wants to set you free. And there's another word that is really important in a jubilee year, and that word is restoration. He wants to restore this inheritance of blessings. He wants to restore to you something that you've lost. I can remember talking with people that have experienced a sense of jubilee in their relationship with God. And there was this sense of, I totally forgot what it was like to be able to have a horizon that was full of hope and light. I forgot what it was like to have a sense of feeling this sense of freedom and verve and vitality in my life. That's what a moment of jubilee can be. It can be a time of restoring the blessings, the inheritance of good things that God has intended for you that maybe we've lost sight of. And I just need to say this, brothers and sisters, we've all lost sight of some of the good things that the Lord has for us. We do. We've all lost sight. And so maybe this is this reality of jubilee is meant for all of you, for all of us, to be able to say, Lord, please, I want you to restore in my life what I've lost sight of, the good things that I've lost sight of. Probably my favorite passage in the New Testament is Luke 12:32. Do not live in fear, little flock. It has pleased the Father to give you the kingdom. Do not live in fear, little flock. It has pleased the Father to give you the kingdom. Now that might sound a little mysterious, but Jesus here, he's talking to people. What's he saying? He's saying that there's so many people, and many of these people are Jewish people, right? So the people who believe in God, but somehow their belief in God is something that is marked maybe principally by fear, that God is a distant God, a judging God, a God who's quick to condemn, a God who's far off, who maybe has seemingly been uninvolved or not caring. Some seemingly has been on the sidelines when things have unfolded in my life. And so I don't have a sense of great expectation from the Lord. And Jesus is saying, look, don't live in fear. Little flock, look, you don't have to try to figure stuff out. You don't have to try to come up with answers and strategies and paths forward for the things happening in your life. No, you can just be like a little lamb. Let Jesus be the good shepherd. He wants to be a good shepherd. He wants to shepherd you. He wants to move you into green pastures, through dark valleys, into green pastures. He wants you to be able to enjoy the good things of God. Why? Because it's pleased the Father to give you these good things, the good things of his kingdom. And his kingdom, that means that there's a realm when you're living in that relationship with the Lord, when you're under his covering, he's going to provide for you. He's going to protect you. He's going to guide you in your life. And he has that for you. Now, I know this is just words. These are just words, unless the grace of God makes them a living word. And that's my prayer. My prayer is that what you'll hear, Beth's mom, is not just words, but this will be a living word that can break through. It can break through those levels and layers that we put up where, you know what, these things have happened to me and I just can't trust. These things have happened to me and I just, they seem so foreign what you're talking about. These ideas strike me as new or different and they haven't matched my experience. Well, now is the time. This can be a different moment. This can be the moment of an encounter with the living God. if we're open to it. Now, I say if we're open to it, what I mean is this, is that God always takes the initiative, right? In the Bible, in Revelation chapter 3, it says how Jesus stands at the door and knocks. So he takes the initiative, Beth's mom, he takes the initiative, and he's knocking on the door of your life. He's knocking on the door of your today. He's knocking on the door of your this right now moment of your life. I don't know what you're going through, but I know this. The Lord does. And so he's knocking on the door of the right now moment of your life. And he's saying, if you hear my voice, open the door. Open the door. Say yes. Open the door just means, can you say yes? And this is not complicated. This doesn't take some kind of special knowledge to be able to know what that means. If someone's knocking at the door of your home, you open the door to let them in. And God, here's the beautiful thing about the Lord, is that Jesus will not only take the initiative to knock at the door, he'll also take the initiative to give you the strength to recognize that he's knocking and the strength to open up to him. So if you're like, I can't do it, I don't know how to do it, he will give you the grace. He will give you the strength to go beyond what you can do on your own. And so if you don't know what that sounds like or looks like, it's as simple as this. Jesus, the idea that you're coming and knocking on the door of my life is foreign to me. I don't quite get it. It's hard for me to actually accept it. But you know what? If it's true, then I don't even know how to say yes, but I just say yes. I say yes to letting you come into my today, my right now, into the parts of my life where I have held back, I've closed off, I have had a hard time trusting that you're a loving God because of what's happened to me in my life. But you know what? I'm tired. And if you have a fresh start and a new beginning for me, then please, yes, come. Please, yes, come. Now, I have to say this. One of the things, first of all, did you get that? That wasn't that complicated. And if right now that was hard for you to feel like you can do it later. You don't have to do it right now in this moment. But if you can just remember that, do that in the future, right? And I want you to know, when you heard me say that, hopefully you heard a ring of truth, a ring of authenticity. Because you know, the last time I prayed that prayer for my own life, it was right then. What I was praying wasn't just a prayer for you to sort of like, oh, let me say the prayer that I don't need to say any longer. And this is a prayer for you to say, you who are trying to figure stuff out. No, this is the prayer of a disciple every day. It's a prayer of a disciple every day because you know what? Each of us in our own way struggle. Each of us in our own way fall short. Each of us in our own way holding back because of the things that have happened to us, because of the way that we've been formed, because of the things that we've done. These things shape and mold how it is we approach the Lord and how it is we're open to have the Lord approach us, the Lord, the living God, Jesus, and God the Father, and how the Holy Spirit wants to come close to us and console us. He wants to stir in us light and peace. He wants us to go beyond the places in our lives where we're stuck. This still might sound like too much. Why would God care about me like that? Why would God take that kind of action in my regard? When we come back, pick up at that point and we'll discuss that. So back in a minute. Welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. It's great to be with you. Today, I'm sharing a message to Beth's mom. Now, you might also be Beth's mom. You might also know a Beth's mom. Your mom might be a Beth's mom. It might be your dad. It might be your brother. It might be your child. Beth's mom is someone who grew up Catholic but has stopped practicing her Catholic faith. She's had a harder life with unexpected trials and difficulties that have had their impact on her. And I only found out about her last week, and I just shared with Beth. I just said, hey, if you're okay with it, I'm just going to put together a simple message and just talk with her, share with her on the radio. And if that leads to another conversation, I would love that as well. But this is my message to you, Beth's mom. And I want to simply say this, that I know how the Father delights in you. I know he loves you. And how do I know that? Because I feel it inside of me. I feel this sense of this urge from like, it's not just a human thing. There's this urge that says, speak to my beloved daughter. Tell her about my love. And the theme that came up, I knew that this was the day I was supposed to share it. It happened because my daughter called. My daughter, Mary Grace, she said, Dad, I'm giving a talk on the Jubilee year, and I'm supposed to connect it to the theme of reconciliation, and especially the Eucharist, Jesus present in the Eucharist. And as we started to talk, I was like, Mary Grace, this is the message that Beth's mom needs to hear. This is so important. And so I just came from that conversation a few hours ago, and I thought, oh, now's the day. I was wondering when I was going to be doing it. I didn't want time to just float on, but I felt this sense of, yeah, now's the time is right. This is the time for this program. So what was the message? Well, the message is Jubilee year, right? You've already heard me mention this idea of being set free and having a restoration of this inheritance of blessings. But the word joy, I haven't had a chance to talk about yet, because Jubilee means rejoice. It has to do with joy, and it has to increasing the joy that is part of life and life with God. And here's the thing, that we might get it wrong. And this is the message I want you to hear. I know God has joy for you. Right. And the joy that is part of Jubilee is the joy we most naturally think of, is the joy that is part of these good things happening. A slave being set free is pretty happy, full of joy. Debts being canceled. Yeah, full of joy. A restoration of the inheritance of blessing. Yeah, full of joy. Right. So there's all this reconciliation occurring. Like, all this is, that's a lot of joy that is part of someone's life. But then that is going to reflect on an even deeper joy. It's not just the joy of good things happening in life. It's the good things that are happening in life because of God. Oh, so now my life with God, my relationship with God, is something that I now enjoy in a new way. So that my relationship with the Lord is marked by joy. I enjoy God. I enjoy relating to God in prayer. God goes from being a distant God who isn't aware of my circumstance to a God who is drawn near, and who has unbound me and set me free. And so that's another kind of joy that's connected to Jubilee, but that's not even the deepest and most important experience of Jubilee, joy. Well, what is that deepest joy that is part of Jubilee? It's this. It's growing in the realization and in the experience of the joy that God takes in you. Beth's mom, I don't think you heard that. Let me say it again. God enjoys you. God finds joy in you. He does. In creating you, he created you from the fullness of his life and goodness and love. It came as an act of joyful creation. He has gazed upon you in love at every moment of your existence. He has accompanied you through your life with a joyful gazing upon you, longing to be part and parcel of the details of what you've gone through. And the last chapters of your life have not been written yet. And so there is a new opportunity today. There's a new moment that is being presented to you. It doesn't have to be the same. God doesn't have to be a God who's far off or a concept that is believed in, but at a distance and has no practical impact on our lives other than maybe a cultural one and maybe as a moral compass. No. God wants to be the living God, a true Father who takes pleasure in giving good things to you. Why? Because he enjoys you. And here's my invitation. Here's my hope. Here's my prayer for you, that you would take the risk today. You would take this risk, Beth's mom, of just saying to God, Father, I come before you today in Jesus' name. Because of Jesus, I can call you Father. And I say, just in the most simple, humble way that I can, please help me to experience the joy that you take in me. Please give me the grace to encounter your joy, the joy that you have for me, and the joy that you have in gazing upon my life, the joy that you long to bring more fully into my life. You want your joy, the joy that you have for me, to be the ground that I walk on. You want it to be in the air that I breathe. You want it to be in the things that I see and hear. You want me to be able to experience the echo of the joy of the overflowing, boisterous laughter, the enjoyment that just overflows, that it'll come through my ears, it'll come through my eyes, and the things that are beautiful in this world. I know there are ugly things, but in the beautiful things of this world, to see your joy. Please help me to do that. And I pray that for Beth's mom. Lord, I just pray right now for her. I just pray, Jesus, that you know what it is that makes it hard for her to see the joy that you have in her. To hard it is for her to hear the message that she is enjoyed by you. The things that have happened in her life that are blockages and walls that are chaining her up in her memory, in her imagination, and in her will and in her intellect, that are making it hard and confusing to let go of the thoughts and ways of seeing things. Jesus, you're a divine physician. You are a divine physician that heals. So I pray that you would just unbind and set free. Wash away, Lord, anything that is blocking her from experiencing the joy that is real, vibrant, vital, profound, never ending. Please, Father, lavish that joy upon her. You know, Lord, that place in her heart that is most vulnerable and tender and has wounds from what she has gone through in her life. Divine physician, in your own way, wash over her. Wash over her with that love, the gentle flow of love, to begin to heal her, to begin to unbind her and set her free. Only you can do that, Lord. Lord, you can do that. And so, Lord, we just stand before you in reverence and in awe that you love us so much that you break into our lives. You break in even when we don't deserve it, even when we're not thinking about you. You are passionately concerned about us. When we have written you off, you have written us into your heart, that Jesus, you saw us through the course of your life. We were in your mind. You know, Beth's mom, that's actually something that the church teaches. I know you grew up Catholic. You're taught by nuns, and these nuns, I know, let you down sometimes and even betrayed your trust sometimes. And I'm sorry for that. Please, I'm sorry for that happened to you. But God has been ever faithful, and he has been with you, even in the midst of those crosses that you've borne. I know that you've heard the phrase, offer it up, and that was part of the experience in life that you've had, that when you offer it up, what's happening? There's a way in which Jesus He underwent the suffering that you endured. He underwent the crowning and the beating and the darkness and the confusion and the agony in your garden, the crowning of thorns, the crosses that you carried. These were things that you did not go through alone, even though you felt isolated and cut off. Jesus wants to reveal to you the truth that he was with you. He was with you along every step of that journey, even when you felt alone. He was there invisibly and spiritually with you, so that the pain and the sorrow, the suffering and the brokenness that reached your life impacted him first, and that he wants to truly unbind and set free. I know that this is, again, this might be a message that is foreign. I know that this is a message that might be hard to understand, but I know it's a message that is true and can bring about a release and a relief of sufferings and difficulties that have lasted for decades. I saw this happen. I saw this happen in my mom's life. My mom, when she was 77 years old, was diagnosed with brain cancer. And we, the family members, those that were living around her, were noticing that her memory was going and could not understand why it was failing so quickly. And sure enough, there was a brain scan and it revealed a number of tumors cancerous in her brain. And there was, you know, there really wasn't a path to healing. It was, she was going to die. And it happens quickly when you have 19 brain tumors. And so we had her for about another 4 months, from July to early November. And that sounds just horrific. And in a certain sense, it was. On the other hand, God used it. God used that to bring about healing in relationships that were decades old, especially my mom's relationship with one of her daughters, one of my sisters, that had been marked by strife and conflict for decades. And there was so many walls, so many wounds, so many hurts. But as my mom's health diminished and her capabilities diminished, she needed to be cared for. And the care that she ended up receiving, she received from this daughter, my sister. And as my mom's capabilities diminished, her walls went down, her defenses went down, and there ended up being a tremendous reconciliation and healing in that relationship. And so what was in some ways the worst thing that ever happened to my mom was used by God to bring about a blessing that was miraculous, a healing that was miraculous, one of the greatest things that God ever did to bring about, or to use, again, to use a tragedy to bring about a triumph, to use a difficulty to bring about a transformation. That's what happened. For my mom and my daughter, my sister, her daughter, after decades of conflict, they were able to be not just reconciled, but there was a beautiful restoration and healing that happened there. That's what happened in her circumstance. And I don't know the journey that you're on and where it's going to lead, but I do know this: the Lord is with you. And he does have good things in store. He has jubilee in store, joy. He has that joy in store for you. I don't know exactly the form it'll take, but I know that it's real and it's what he has for you. All right, when we're up against a break, I'll be back in a minute to continue this conversation.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. It's great to be with you. So today I am talking to Beth's mom. Again, if you missed the beginning of the program, who is this Beth's mom? I was at a volleyball tournament and I was sitting next to the mom of another player on the team where two of my daughters are on. And her mom is Catholic, but hasn't been practicing her faith in some time. And has shown some resistance and some hurts from her own personal life and interaction with the Catholic faith and the Catholic Church, and has a concern, a loving concern of a daughter to hope that somehow she can, the mom, come back to a sense of connection to the living Lord through her faith, her faith in Christ. And so I said, I would be thrilled to have a chance to talk with you. And if you're listening to this, Beth's mom, and there's anything that I've said that it has been engaging to you and, you're like, you know what, I want to talk. I'd like to explore this further, or even I've got some questions, or I want to put into question some of the things you've said. I am here ready to go. I say that because I know that the Lord, what he has for us is a sense of fullness, a sense of abundance, a sense of life, life lived with abundance. That's what Jesus, he promised us. But I know that the path that we are on, the journey that we take, can be a difficult one. Last night, I was at an event with Carrie that we go to on Wednesday nights. It's this Encounter School of Ministry. And at that particular gathering, one of the prayer happenings, they have this, it's called an activation, a prayer happening, was to pray to be open to have the Lord draw close to you. And if there is an obstacle in the way, to pray that the Lord would reveal what that obstacle is. And they ended up doing it live. We had this moment of prayer and we prayed and we were open, like, okay, Jesus, you're the living Lord, you're here with us. Come, Holy Spirit, come and move in our midst and do what you would. And one of the things that showed up in the midst of it is something that does happen commonly. And that is that where there is a blockage or an obstacle to having the sense of encounter, a sense of actually having contact and communication with God as the living Lord, as a loving God who's drawing close to us, is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness can function as a huge blockage to us experiencing this flow of God's peace and mercy and a revitalization of our lives of faith. And that's hard to hear. That's hard to hear when we have been wounded, to think that somehow there's something that I'm doing that's holding back my experience of the love of God or of the peace of the Lord or of a sense of freedom that he wants for me. But that's the truth. And you can easily say, and this has happened to me, I don't know, more than once in conversation, talking with people who are in these circumstances, it's like, wait a minute, I'm hurt and I'm angry and I'm tremendously more than disappointed. I'm even outraged that these things happened to me, that this person or these people did these things to me. And my anger, my upsetment, you're saying is an obstacle and a blockage? Yes, it is. Well, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to just get over it, make pretend it didn't happen? No, that is not it, not at all. But the Lord, he wants you to experience the healing balm of his grace and peace. And the doorway that will come through is the doorway of forgiveness. And I know that this it sounds impossible, and it's I'm going to give you a different word. It's superhuman. It's actually supernatural. What we are unable to do on our own, which is forget or forgive when we've been hurt by someone else, when we have been wounded by someone else or by others, we can't forget or forgive on our own. But the Holy Spirit can stir in us a capacity to do what on our own is impossible to do. And that is to extend mercy, to extend forgiveness to others who have wronged us, betrayed us, let us down, or hurt us. We can forgive them, not on our own strength. And I'm going to share with you that if that is a blockage, Beth's mom, if that's a blockage, that there is someone or some folks that are part of your own personal history, and maybe even again connected to your own journey as a Catholic in this world, that it seems to be too much. It's too much for me to even think about forgiving them. Can you bring that very situation, namely, I'm in this circumstance where I don't know how to even begin to want to forgive because I don't want to. I'm going to say a prayer like I'm in that position. All right. I'll say that prayer in your place, on your behalf, and for your sake, if that's you. And if it's not you, I'm guessing there are others out there for whom this would be a real situation and a real prayer. And my hope is that you can lean in on my words, lean in on this prayer so that it might be an open door to receiving this, again, this inflow of the healing balm of the Holy Spirit in your mind, your heart, and your memory. You see, the Lord has forgiven us first. He has forgiven us when we have fallen short, when we have dishonored Him and our relationship with Him by the things that we've thought, the things that we've spoken, the things that we've done, or the things that we've avoided. God is always the one who takes the initiative, even in extending us mercy, extending that mercy, that forgiveness to us. And it's because of that that we can find within us the strength to extend forgiveness to others. We have been forgiven first, and so we can also extend forgiveness to others. So let's pray. Father in heaven, I come before you on behalf of Beth's mom or any other person, or any person listening who is struggling right now with unforgiveness. And that unforgiveness is preventing us, holding us back, Lord, from experiencing your fatherly care, your tender mercies, the healing touch of your love. And so, Father, I come before you on their behalf, in their place, and for their sake. And I just say, in Jesus' name, I don't know, Lord, I don't know how to get rid of it. I don't know how to overcome it. Lord, I know that anger, that hurt, that resentment, that pain, and it can be so much, Lord, that we don't know how to move forward. And so we look to you. We look to you to do what is impossible for us to do on our own. So Jesus, do it in us. And we don't even know how to come before you in a way that would allow you to do that. So we just surrender. We just give up. We just give over. We just say, you take over. Jesus, please just take over. Just come in. And it's hard, Lord. I know that we have locked the doors of our hearts to you in some ways. But we also know that on Easter Sunday, you came through a locked door. You came through the locked door of the apostles and the disciples who were hiding in fear in the upper room. And though the door was locked, you passed through that locked door and you appeared to them and you showed them your wounds. And you spoke those powerful words, peace be with you. And then you breathed on them the Holy Spirit. And you said, if you forgive men's sins, they're forgiven. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would come through the locked doors that are in our hearts, the locked doors that are in our lives, the locked doors of memories that have marked our lives with hurts, with wounds that we don't know how to overcome on our own. So please, Jesus, risen one, holy one, divine physician, enter and show us your wounds so that we will understand that you are a God of compassion, that you have suffered through all the sufferings that we've known, and that you want to release us from that and release us from the darkness and the pain and the brokenness of that, that you want to grant us release and relief and an open door to a whole new life. And so, Holy Spirit, just be stirred within our hearts in a whole new way to overcome the blockages that are part of our lives. Give us that fresh start. Give us that new beginning. I also feel a sense of praying for any mistrust, any sense of us being betrayed at the level of trust, that Lord, that you would heal the wounds that come from mistrust, from falsity and for lies, and that Lord, you would restore a sense of integrity.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com.
All right, welcome back to the program. It's great to be with you today. So I mentioned to you, this is for you, Beth's mom, but it's really, again, for any and all of you that know someone who has maybe been brought up in the Catholic faith, but have walked away, fallen away, jumped away, run away, and are maybe struggling to find their footing in terms of their own relationship with the Lord. And I just want to share some sort of final reflections just as a way of maybe, again, sowing seeds of hope, right? This is a Jubilee year of hope. Hope is about having a horizon for our lives that is good, that's open, that's positive, that has meaning and purpose. And I know as I've moved forward into this stage in my life where I'm 60 years old now, this journey of life is something that it requires like different things at different ages and stages. And I know that one of the things that can emerge more importantly, as we move into this later stage in life, is truly having a sense of that the path that we've been walking is a journey, and that journey has a destination, and that the final chapter of our life hasn't yet been written. And what matters isn't as much the things that have happened along the way, because we can all look back at our lives and we can identify some of the potholes, the minefields, the things that have been sad surprises. But if we also look back, we can realize the beautiful wildflowers that have grown up along the way on the side of the road of the path we've been on, the beautiful gifts that have been given to us along the way. And so I think of, for Beth's mom, I think of your daughter, I think of your granddaughter that we get to see, who's friends with our daughters, and the joy that is, I know, in your heart for them. And that's a sign of the goodness of God at work in your life. That's a sign that the living God does, in fact, have a purpose for you, does, in fact, have a plan for your life. And that as you look back on your life, I want you to turn and face the other direction and look forward and realize that I can finish this race with a sense of victory. I can finish this race with a sense of purpose. There was a famous runner of the marathon in the Olympics in 1968. And he's a Tanzanian marathoner. And in Mexico City is where the Olympics are happening. And so the marathon happens. And as you know, the marathon is going to last for the, you know, the front runners just over 2 hours. And then, you know, with the Olympic marathoners, it'll probably be done within 2.5 hours, right? Because you're going to get the best of the best from around the world participating. So they run the marathon and the runners finish, and they, all the runners, as far as they can tell, they've come in and they're ready to now start shutting down the stadium because the race is over. And all of a sudden, coming into the stadium, hobbling, is this one final runner. And he has a bandage on his leg, and he had been bleeding, and he hobbles his way. He makes his way around the lap of the track to finish his race, to finish his marathon. And the crowds that had been, you know, leaving and parting, now all of a sudden they start cheering him on, and he makes his way around and he finishes. And the reporters ended up coming up to him afterwards. And there was this sort of very famous interaction where the reporter said, "What happened? You know, what happened?" And he had gotten injured, bandaged himself, and then continued on. And then they said, "Why did you do this? Why didn't you just drop out once you realized you had fallen and there was no chance for you to get a medal?" And he said that my country did not send me here to start the race. My country sent me here to finish the race. And that's what kept him going. And so even though in the competitive lens, he came in last, the lens of history has shone a light on him in a way that no one else has remembered. Who could name the winner of the gold medal or the silver medal or the bronze medal at the 1968 Summer Olympics in the marathon? And the answer is pretty much nobody. But who came in last? Well, that story is known. That story continues. And it continues because of the courage of a man who had fallen unexpectedly, not part of his plan. It wasn't what he deserved. It wasn't a sign of the efforts that he had put in to reach the Olympics, representing his country. But after he had fallen, after the terrible fall and the injury and the impact on his life, he got up and he went on. And he continued to press forward. And even though in the eyes of the other racers, he came in last, in the eyes of the crowd, he displayed something that continues to echo 60 years later. My country did not send me here to start the race. My country sent me here to finish the race. And so my final message to you, Beth's mom, and to anyone else who is in this later stage of life and feeling like, why did my life turn out the way that it did? This was not what I expected. This isn't the hand of cards I was dealt, doesn't feel like what I deserved. I say to you, your Heavenly Father, the living God, did not send you here to start the race. But the journey that you're on, even though it involves stumbles and falls and injuries and brokennesses, he sent you here to finish the race. And what matters and what will echo into the future is how you finish your race. And how you finish your race means what you will do with this message. Consider me an angel sent from God, someone unexpected, just like other things that have been unexpected have reached your life. Consider this an unexpected, hopefully, blessing, a message from the living God who longs to speak to your life and bring you blessings, freedom, peace, and joy. And what will matter most of all to you is the finishing of this race, because the journey that we have on this life does not end in death. But as someone who was brought up Catholic, you know well, Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. And we share our faith in the risen one who died on our behalf and who was raised for us as well. And so what we do, Beth's mom, is we look forward to our heavenly home where we will rejoice forever. And don't doubt it, but all of heaven is cheering you on as you run this leg of your race. God bless you.